Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hey, everybody. We are back talking about battling failed expectations. Lori,
yes.
have you had expectations but that have been broken lately? Have you had failed expectations in life?
A few. Yeah. I have definitely had expectations that are broken. You know, I will say that I have this part inside that I call it the little train that could.
Yeah.
You know, and I go through sometimes when I'm disappointed or an expectation is broken, kind of this, ugh. You know, but often by the end of the day, I'm formulating the next plan. You know, okay, now what are we going to do?
And you're changing your expectation to something
I'm
different.
I'm changing my expectations, you know, and redoing it. And I think this is such an important topic, especially for young couples. You know, in my premarital training classes, like we do a whole week on expectations.
Yeah. Expectations, I think, they cause a lot of problems in relationships.
They do.
Shakespeare said, expectation is the root of all heartache. And I think it is true. Like, I think especially in relationship with your significant other, but also when you have kids, your expectations, if you have expectations when you go in having kids, they just all go out the window.
Absolutely.
Right?
Adam, you got to tell that story of your son. I swear your Facebook post was so hilarious. So I got to just read it to you guys because it's so funny. But he says, more adventures in parenting gross children.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
Taking the boy up the stairs to bed. Boy says, there's poop on the stairs. Me, Adam, picks up a dried piece of poop. Ugh. Boy, I guess someone pooped on the stairs. Me, who pooped on the stairs? Did you poop on the stairs? Boy, no, just leave it there. Adam, I'm not going to just leave it there. Poop does not go on the stairs. Boy, shrugs shoulders. Well, someone wanted it there. Adam, that's not the point.
he was focused on wanting everybody to have their preference for where they poop, not on the fact that it doesn't go there. So if you have the expectation that your children will either always contain their poop. This is just not the case in parenting.
Child raising
everywhere
is a little full of shit.
Yeah, it's full of shit. And
sometimes
expectations.
Romance, right? Because our expectations are really born of our fantasies of a perfect and ideal relationship, which we all kind of put forward when we're first getting together.
Yeah, you know? But over time too, Lori, I mean, I think those unmet expectations, whether we know that they're fantasy or not, if they're going unmet, they lead to just a lot of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, as they build, it can lead to a lot of resentment. And I think they just grow over time. They get bigger and they get bigger. I had a couple that I was working with. They were married over 10 years. They had just experienced a lot of external challenges. They had a difficult birth of one of their children. It was really kind of a mini trauma, if not a full-blown trauma, and how they dealt with that. Her mother had suddenly left her father right before they got married.
Before the
couple got married.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, they were dealing with that at their wedding.
Right.
Several years later, he was let go from a job right after he got diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
They just had all of these things. Both of them worked really stressful jobs. And the common line they always used when it came to their relationship was, I just did not expect it to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years later, they did not expect to be in the place that they were in. Mm. And all of those things were outside stressors, let alone the fact that as they had interacted, they did not treat each other in the way that the other person expected.
Right.
But here's the thing that I see, and I think you see it as well. Those expectations are almost always unspoken. Mm-hmm. In the relationship. Mm-hmm. They've so very rarely, you were talking about what you have them do with that in premarital before they get married. Is
trying
to
make
them.
Some of it actually conscious.
Yeah.
And spoken.
Because a lot of times we may not even know that we have those expectations, right?
Right.
Like ourselves. Like I sometimes may not even know what my expectations are.
Exactly. I mean, I think our unconscious plays a big role in this, right? Mm. I mean, we have expectations about romance and marriage that come from our families of origin, you know, from deeply held patterns and ideas. And almost for some people, I think when they come from less and there's less love and connection in their family of origin, they have even higher expectations for the romantic relationship. That's going to repair everything.
Yeah. Or I think we too absorb just our expectations from what we see happening around us. We think that our experience is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we do have a good example of parents and their relationship, we expect that everything should be our spouse should treat us exactly the same way as we saw our father treating our mother or our mother mm-hmm. treating our father or other relationships that are stand-in for those.
Do you also think that maybe the culture plays into this expectation, right? Like Hollywood and how everybody's having easy, great sex all the time.
Yeah.
No wet spot.
Yeah, absolutely. No cleanup, no towel next to the bed at all, right? I mean, I think there's definitely some of that as well. But I also think they get built when we decide not to fully express our wants and needs, because mm-hmm. wants and needs are different from expectations.
Okay,
I think.
Tell me about that. Explain that.
Well, I think expectations, I think, place responsibility on the other person. As opposed to placing responsibility on ourselves to communicate and to clarify our wants and needs.
Oh, I like that.
Like it's a distinction that I think is important, because a lot of times I hear couples say they've never talked about it, right? Mm-hmm. And they go, well, it should just be obvious to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they haven't clarified their wants and needs because it should just be expected, and we think we should only have one conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I tell you what my wants and needs are one time, then that should just fix everything, and then you should always respond to me, and you should just know exactly. I may say, well, I just need to be touched more. Mm-hmm. And so then my spouse tries to do that and they don't do it in the exact right way. I've offered no clarification. We haven't talked fully in depth about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just this unspoken mess that just builds on itself, because I know I get focused on this a lot, but it just feels to me that saying those things out loud, saying what I truly want and what I truly need, saying out loud is one of the most vulnerable things that we can do.
Yeah,
and
because
so it's
revealing, you know, our sweet spot, you know, our vulnerable place. And if then our partner says, mm-hmm. well, I don't care about that, or I'm not going to meet your need, then we feel bereft. We feel, oh my gosh, you know, maybe unloved. It is tricky.
Yeah. And expressing that is difficult as well. You know, I think when people start complaining about the expectations of the other, oftentimes they say that they're too high, when what they really mean is there's too many of them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to meet so many different expectations of my partner when there's so many of them. And oftentimes we don't even realize that we're placing those expectations. I had one guy who, when I asked him what he needed in relationship, he started talking about being respected, right?
Mm.
And that's a big need. That's often heard, like it's a common thing for guys.
I need somebody to see my autonomy and appreciate that.
As he started talking about how he wanted to be respected, the list went on and on.
Right.
You know, and so it became one of those things where it's not necessarily that being respected is too high of an expectation to have in a relationship, but when you want it in a multitude of ways and the list of that just keeps going on, it becomes overwhelming.
It becomes legislated too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, versus, you know, somebody could never live up to that,
mm.
right? Because they're going to fail one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of those ways. They're not going to be respectful.
Mm.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That just makes it super hard. And then I think the other problem too is these expectations are not negotiated because they don't talk about them. They're not mm-hmm. negotiated between the partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not equitable. And we dig our heels in with those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a, I can come towards you and you could come toward me position. It's a, I have to have things this way because this is the way that I expect it to go.
Right. And I think expectations can often feel like a right. because we're holding it inside, and we always think our way is the right way and the most reasonable.
Well, we feel entitled to those, right? We feel entitled to those expectations.
Right, and so negotiation means that I'm actually seeing the other as an other with also legitimate needs and differences. And even though I may have this expectation or this need or this want, even if I speak it out loud, now it becomes something that we have to talk about, and they may be completely different. And that is, it's very hard. You know, I think in some ways there's this necessary loss of adulthood, which is in some ways realizing our partner cannot, will not meet all our needs. You know, and that's hard. But a marriage, you know, we need many things in life to be happy. We need the marriage or the partnership and friends, relationships and hobbies and a career and, you know, or meaningful work.
Well, we know we don't want this because unmet expectations lead to divorce, right? And so we want to kind of give you some ways to do that. So let's come back after the break and we'll give you some ways that
you can
get these met.
Speaking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson from Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Lori, what is an intensive?
So an intensive is 12 to 14 hours of therapy all in one weekend. And it's a way to really make fast progress compared to weekly therapy. I mean, there's just so much more you can get done when you have a chunk of time.
Overcome the challenges in your relationship and your sex life. Learn more about intensives and Awakening Center's other services at awakenloveandsex.com.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. Give us a call at 919-587-8018. Find us online at matthewscounseling.com. We look forward to working with you.
So, Adam, you've kind of told us that you're going to help us with some solutions about our expectations and what to do with them. And how do we even begin to know what our needs and our wants are?
Well, I think that's where you start. You have to kind of determine what exactly those needs and those wants are. And oftentimes, like we were talking about before, we need to narrow those down to some of the things that are just super important and valuable to us, right? You were mentioning at the end of the first section that we can't expect our partner to meet all of our wants and needs, but we can say these are the ones, we can prioritize and say these are the ones that are important to us. But oftentimes that means we take our attention off of what we aren't getting to know what we want. Sarah Clark is a writer who said, we often focus so much on what we aren't getting from our partner that we don't even realize what we want. And so the first step to being able to identify that, I think, is to take our attention away from what we're not getting to be able to say, if I'm in any relationship, right, what do I need? What are my non-negotiables?
Right, because people, too, when they have expectations, they fantasize this relationship that is flawed and I'm not getting so many things met compared to an idealized relationship where that person would love me just the way I would want to be loved. And they're not necessarily saying, you know, pick your poison. You know, another relationship would also have flaws. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And this can be difficult. But if you really sit down and think about it and to come up with some concrete ways that this happened, if it's respect, if I have a need for respect, I need to be able to say, I feel respected when you do this. And not make it a litany of things, but make it like, this is the biggest way that you can show me that you, that there's respect in our relationship.
Right. I feel respected, for instance, when you respect my use of time.
Yes.
That I set my own agenda. And yes, I am making difficult choices internally. And so, yeah, I feel respected when you respect that about me and my choices.
If your need is to be a to feel like a priority in your relationship, it may be, I feel like a priority when you block off time just for the two of us every single week, or when you say no to something to say yes to me. I think those types of things really make it clear what our wants and needs are, and then we can see when that person is actually doing that. The other thing that I think is helpful here is to be the one that asks first about your partner's needs. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we just are not good question askers. We don't, let's say that differently. Let's say that's a weird way to say that. We need to learn how to ask good questions.
Mm-hmm.
There's things like being curious. Curiosity to me in a relationship is just huge when you're able to remain curious, or even asking open-ended questions, focusing on the who, what, when, and where of what's going on with your partner. But by doing that and being generous enough to listen well, mm-hmm. then you increase the possibility that they're going to do the same for you with your needs.
I would say often the pursuer is the one who takes the more active role in this and is probably listening with keen ears to you today. And they want to ask their partner, what do you need and want? And they really need to tune up the listening, because distancers will put out their needs and wants, but it's usually at a whisper level.
Yeah.
Or they've said it once, you know, and if they got disrespected that time or it was ignored, they feel hopeless about saying it again. So if you're a distancing partner, your role, actually the way you come forward in the relationship, is by stating very clearly, this is what I need. And sometimes it may mean, I need you to stop.
Yeah. Well, and it's usually the pursuer that's going to need to learn to ask the good questions. The distancer is going to need to learn to communicate their needs
and their answer and be aware of those needs.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think that to be able to communicate clearly your needs, you have to focus on speaking for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Representing themselves.
Like, I think you see this too, but I just don't, everybody that comes in my office, they have a difficult time doing that. When there are unmet expectations in the relationship, we want to blame the other person first. Mm-hmm. When there's problems in communication, we want to blame the other person. And we just, so many people I see just cannot do this. And it's the simple I statement, speaking for yourself. And as they're communicating that, focusing on what they want things to look like rather than what's gone wrong in the past, you know?
Right. Rather than the litany of all the things that their partner hasn't done for them or the ways that their expectation hasn't been met, focus on what you want it to look like.
Yeah, because I think you see this too, like when people start talking about what they want, they bring in those old fights, or they bring in, remember when your mother did it this way, or like, remember how this led to a fight, or whatever it was that was happening, keeping it out of that. But then also communicating your needs clearly, especially for distancers, I think requires a huge element of bravery.
Mm-hmm. And courage.
And courage, because it is risky, right, for them to be able to do that.
Right. I had a patient who asked me, or who was telling me, that she wanted to ask her partner why he had stopped kissing her. And I said, okay, tell me what that's going to look like. Well, it's like, I'm going to say, why did you stop doing that? You used to do that in the relationship, and that was really what I liked, and that's the way I get turned on, and I just don't understand. Do I not kiss well? I'm like, okay, let's do this differently.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about your need. And the way I suggested that she communicate that need was actually not verbally, but physically. I said, you know, why don't you pour a glass of wine in a neutral place, you know, start talking to him, start touching his arms, draw his arms around you, start kissing him, have it lead to hot sex.
Hmm.
You know, communicating your need sometimes in a nonverbal way rather than, you know, a complainy way, right? And how your expectations have not been met in the sex life, you know, that way, I mean, there's such an instant reward, you know, he has hot sex, you know, he'll learn very quickly. Oh, wow. That all that kissing stuff, that really works.
That works. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And it's a shared, you're meeting my expectations and I'm meeting your expectations at the same time, or your wants and needs rather. I also think that there can be some of that heat out of your frustration over not getting your expectations met. If you can really look for things that you are grateful for about your about your partner, focusing on who they are and not on what they are doing or not doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times that gets lost when we're wanting our partner to change or wanting them to do something different. We oftentimes communicate things we want them to change about their behavior by talking about their character. Right. And we know that that just leads to contempt in relationships.
I want you to be unselfish.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some people do that directly, but some people do it really indirectly too, where they go, why can't you just see that the dishes need to be done? Do you think they're going to do themselves?
Yeah.
Right? Like that kind of communication.
Where you're saying the dishes do themselves.
Yeah. And I mean, I think like that, we then take our eyes off the person. It becomes a dehumanizing of somewhat over time. It occurs slowly. And when we can come back into that, you know, I'm a fan of gratitude journals and writing down gratitudes in it.
I didn't actually know
that. You didn't
that.
Know that?
No.
I think gratitude is just a powerful thing in general.
It is.
And I recently had somebody do one where they just wrote gratitude about their spouse every single day. I didn't tell, I told them not to tell their spouse that they were doing this, but I just said, every day I want you to write 5 things that you are grateful for about them. And it really started to change. They softened, right? They had been really hardlining things in the change that they expected, but they was able to really soften them as well.
Right. It can change your life. I have a girlfriend who, she works with stroke victims and, you know, she's been depressed for a number of years and had some difficulties and she's literally changed. And I said, what has happened to you? You're so different. I mean, she's just talking about life and her husband and everything in new ways. And she said, you know, I realized every day is a gift. I've seen these people who are my age, she's not very old, struggling with strokes and brain injuries. And it's like, I mean, nobody is granted the next day, you know? And she said, I just realized that I can be grateful for this breath, for what I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really changed her. So yeah, I think you're right. And it has really changed her relationship. I mean, there's been this renewal of romance between her and her husband as she's become grateful for life and beginning to focus on all the things there are to appreciate about him.
Yeah. And I think you can also be grateful for the efforts that they are making rather than the ones that they're not. I think we can still ask for things to be different, right? Where oftentimes in relationships, you're two different people. And so I say, I need this need met, and they try to meet it, but they're meeting it in their way. Mm-hmm. And there does need to change, but I can still be grateful and appreciate the effort that they're bringing, that they're trying to meet the need that I have in their own way. And that really respects that the other person is trying.
The effort.
And the effort that's there.
And without that gratitude, I think it's discouraging to the person who's trying to change and meet your needs.
Absolutely.
Like if they don't get partial credit, you know,
for
their efforts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why keep trying? It's like, rather than see no matter what, it's not good enough, which is what, you know, often causes us to fail when we don't get that credit.
Well, and it's easier if I appreciate their needs for them to hear the changes that I need them to make. And it's easier for me to say that. If I say, man, I so appreciate that you really try to affirm me in this way. You were saying a lot of things that were really nice, but what I'd appreciate next time is if you could just do it, just add this to it. If you could just add some, like, it would be helpful if there was just some enthusiasm in it for you or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm just making stuff up all the fly, so I don't know if it's a great example or not. But I just, like, those types of things, I think, make it easier when we're appreciating that effort.
Definitely noticing that your partner has responded to your request.
Yeah. And the last thing I'd say here, Lori, too, is evaluate your expectations in terms of boundaries. Boundaries, to me, work way better than expectations because they focus on you and what works for you. John Gottman's circles of negotiations here are really, I find to be really helpful. It's rings it in terms of, I translate this to working with boundaries in terms of, if you picture rings on a target, the inner ring is just the non-negotiable ones, right? And that non-negotiable boundaries are things that you cannot live without but it should be the smallest circle. Mm-hmm. The one out from that are things that I have opinions on, but I'm willing to negotiate. And the biggest ring or thing are issues that you just don't have a strong opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think if you look at your boundaries in that sense, because those non-negotiable ones, the ones that you're staunch about, those have to be kind of the smallest and they have to be few. Mm-hmm. But if you look at them in terms of boundaries rather than expectations, it starts to be clearer. I think things clear up a little bit and you can start to talk about which ones need to be enforced and which ones can be negotiated.
Right. Like boundary of fidelity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's say. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the inner. That's the innermost one.
It's not necessarily how many times a week I want sex, but the most central one is the fidelity piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, that's good.
We hope this has been helpful for you in looking at your expectations. We'd love to hear from you. If you have questions about anything we said on the podcast, feel free to email us at info@foreplayrst.com with your questions, and we will see you next time.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833-4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.